So even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day down in Alabama, with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, and every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, 'tis of thee." Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. And so let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, and when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last." free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call-in number tonight in every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that No Pork Eating America lover, Al. Good evening, Al. How you doing, Big Al?
I'm doing fantastic. Great to be here as always.
Yes, happy Martin Luther King Day. It's a federal holiday today in the United States. And that clip was from the I Have a Dream speech, the march in 1963 in Washington, D.C. by Dr. Martin Luther King, who was assassinated in Memphis, Tennessee almost 54 years ago on April 4th, 1968 at the age of 39. Dr. King was born January 15, 1929 in Atlanta, Georgia. He enrolled in Crozer Theological Seminary in Upland, Pennsylvania, and graduated with a Bachelor of Divinity in 1951. Following his Crozer education, he began his doctoral studies in 1951 in systematic theology at Boston University. Dr. King received his Ph.D. degree June 5th, 1955, at the age of 26. In September 1958, Dr. King survived a knife attack when he was stabbed by a mentally ill black woman, Isola Curry, who thought King was conspiring against her with communists. She stabbed Dr. King in the chest with a letter opener, and he ended up in the hospital for several weeks. But he marched on. Dr. King led campaigns against racial segregation and economic injustice. In March 1963, during the March on Washington, D.C., Dr. King gave his historic I Have a Dream speech, and you just heard part of it, in opening, and tragically, April 4th, 1968, while Dr. King was in Memphis, Tennessee, having arrived on March 29th, 1968, in support of the black sanitary public works employees, Dr. King was assassinated by James Earl Ray at the Lorraine Motel in Memphis. Dr. King was 39 years old. He would have been 93 years old today. And I have to say that one part of the I Have a Dream speech that I really like, and I think it sums up what the majority of Americans feel, is I have a dream that one day that you will not be judged by the color of your skin, but the content of their character. And what just an absolute true statement. And I'm sure you know a lot about Dr. King, having grown up in or around the Atlanta area, Al.
Yep, like you, he's a great man, a great Republican, too, which many people don't know. But judging a person by the content of their character, not the color of their skin, is a statement that I use frequently. And it is so true. And it's the racists and the bigots that don't listen to that, that have moved on to other venues of attacking white people through CRT, critical race theory, and other such bigoted and racist issues. They've forgotten Martin Luther King and what that simple statement says, and more importantly, what it means, and which you articulated perfectly.
Yeah, you know, and that's what the left doesn't want out there. It's a simple statement, and it's just so accurate. And that's how you know most people think. They don't care what color you are. They don't care. It's the content of your character is what is first and foremost. So anyways, 93 years old, Dr. King. So it's an official holiday today. You know, he did have an impact on America and certainly civil rights. I have to say, Sue from New Mexico, she posted a video of that buffoon Biden and giving a speech stating that crack, the druggie George Floyd had more of an impact on racial issues on the world than Dr. King. It's like, oh, Jesus. Just why do they let this buffoon out of the basement? I have no idea. I couldn't watch the rest of the video. It's just horrible. I mean, he's a racist to the core, and then to say something as stupid as that, and again, you have the left wing lauding a drug addict. Dr. King, first and foremost, had more impact on race in America and around the world than anybody else, including the race baiters, Jesse Jackson and the other fraud, Al Sharpton. Give me a break. So anyways, that's what I had to say about that. Turning to PGA Golf, I don't know if you watched the Wailea Country Club, the Sony Open yesterday or this past weekend, but
absolutely.
It turned out to be a very good final day. Russ Henley of America was leading after Friday's round. He led Saturday by 3 shots and took a 2-shot lead into Sunday. Japan's Hideki Matsuyama was staying and hanging on in second place and was playing well as Henley. Yesterday, Henley maintained his lead by escaping trouble, but not really lighting it up and couldn't distance himself from Matsuyama. But Matsuyama was playing aggressively and hitting the ball great. And by the 15th hole, Matsuyama got within 1 stroke of Henley. Again, Henley was just hanging on. On the 18th hole, Matsuyama caught Henley hitting the par 5 18th hole in 2 shots and 2-putt for a birdie, where Henley had a layup after his drive went into a fairway bunker. He had a punch out. And he had hit about 85 yards in, made a nice approach shot to within maybe 12 feet, and then lipped out the putt. They go into playoff, and they both hit drives. And once again, Henley, who used a 3-wood off the tee to get in position in fairway, accident bunker, still up with a second shot. Matsuyama strikes his drive down the middle of the fairway. And I'm telling you, what made it for me was, I mean, I'm sure you do too, but Matsuyama was, what, 290 out to a back pin? He rips a 3-wood and just absolutely hits the 3-wood perfect. And Matsuyama knocks the ball within like 4 feet of the pin in the first playoff hole. And, Henley didn't stand a chance of it. He was done because it's one and done. And he ended up bogeying Henley ended up bogeying the hole. Matsuyama knocked in the 4-footer for an eagle. And that's all she wrote. And Matsuyama wins the Sony Open. And I guess got to say, what a freaking shot by Matsuyama. I mean, it wasn't going to say much about the Sony Open, but that 3-wood in playoff was freaking phenomenal. Oh, my God.
Yeah, and after Sunday, it looked like Henley was a shoe-in, and he just had to keep it together. But that's the fun of golf. 4 days of competition.
I felt bad for Henley. Hopefully he can rebound from this because he played well enough to win, but, boy, he just could not get over that hump and that putt on 18 in regulation that just kind of veered off the hole. It was too bad. In other sporting news, and it's worth talking about this one. So last week we reported about Novak Djokovic, who is the world number one men's tennis player. He's from Serbia. He had petitioned or applied to play in the Australian Open down under to defend his title from last year. He files with Tennis Australia. Tennis Australia and their medical team have to evaluate each and every applicant, as they do, as Team Australia does, and they give Novak Djokovic approval to compete in the first leg of, professional tennis's Grand Slam, and as well as Djokovic to defend his Australian title. Then they put Djokovic under detain him, and want to revoke his visa, passport, his privileges to be in Australia. He takes it to the Australian federal court, and they overturned the government's decision, and he's allowed to stay, and he's going to compete in the Australian Open. Well, the health minister, Australian health minister, stated that he would revoke Djokovic's passport if, in fact, the courts found otherwise. So Djokovic wins the federal court decision, and you think that's it. And the health minister and the prime minister of Australia revoke Novak Djokovic's passport and deport him. Not only do they deport him over this scamdemic, but they now ban him for 3 years from entering Australia. Now, here is world's number one tennis player who follows the rules and goes through the Tennis Australia. Tennis Australia has two medical panels, okay, to evaluate each player and approves Novak Djokovic's entry into Australia. And how sick is the Australian government in Australia? I mean, we're talking about world tyranny now is fully in effect, and they've now denied Novak Djokovic of Serbia from playing his craft, earning an income, so he gets deported. And they send him back to Serbia. And to make matters even worse, now even the French now are talking about denying Djokovic entry into France with all the shit that's going on in France, okay? And even if the tennis authorities and the medical team approve Djokovic's entry into the French Open, which is the second leg of the Grand Slam, now France is talking about not allowing him to enter. I mean, you want to talk about this world cabal being oppressive and tyrannical and fear-mongering as well? You know, this time it's infected. Affected the world number one tennis star, Novak Djokovic. But, you know, to Djokovic's credit, he handled it well. I'm surprised he handled it as well as he did. But I'll tell you what, Rafael Nadal is a jerk. I can't believe he didn't come to Djokovic's side, at least defending Djokovic's ability to play in the Australian Open. And he did nothing of the sort. And I'll tell you, if I'm a man, you know, if I'm playing in the men's division, I'm leaving. I'm leaving Australia. I will forfeit my matches. You know, some dumbass on Twitter said, well, it's already started or anybody. You can't, you know, boycott, blah, blah, blah. It's like, hey, the male players can stand up for the world number one player and really fight back against this tyranny. And if you've got one person remaining on the men's side to play the Australian Open, you know what that does to TV revenue, for one thing? I don't know. What's your take on it, Al?
Well, there's no exemption for Djokovic. He won the court case, and then it got repealed. And like you said, where are the other players? The other players could have said, well, if he's not playing, I'm not playing. And they all could have done it, but they didn't. And the players are tired of, because he's a little bit odd, is what the rumor is. And some of the things he say are a little bit out there with Djokovic. So the players aren't rallying behind him. In fact, they're getting tired of hearing about him, is the feeling. So he's done. And then what's happening in France is even worse, because there's no exemptions. There's no exemptions. And he's already had it. He's got the antibodies. So in Australia, they were saying their fear was the government is that Djokovic would be seen for the anti-vax community and the anti-vax scene sentiments within Australia, that Djokovic would be like a lightning rod for them to latch on to create civil unrest within Australia. That's why the government was afraid of Djokovic. That's
the
real reason. Yeah, that's the real reason they came down on him so hard. And then for France, I mean, what they're saying in France, let's see, what is it? The French Sports Ministry said on Monday there'd be no exemption from new vaccine pass law approved on Sunday, which requires people to have vaccination certificates to enter public places such as restaurants, cafes, and cinemas, which is no different than Mass, than Boston and Massachusetts. They have the same rule with that new Chairman Wu, I mean Mayor Wu, that's now
the Boston Mayor.
Yeah, so what's happening there is happening here. People need to pay attention to it because somebody's unvaccinated, becoming a pariah. And there's a story even that came out that shows how ridiculous this is. In my local paper, the title is Cases Among Vaccinated People on the Rise. You read that, what do you think?
Vaccinated people are getting infected?
Well, yeah, people are dying. I mean, I read that and I go, cases, people dying, cases. The way that they worded it to me, when I read cases, I think of people dying. Even though they're not saying it, but that's how it comes across to me. Now, here's the facts that come through in the story. Breakthrough infections now account for an estimated 41% of the reported COVID cases across Florida, marking just how aggressive Omicron has been in the state. Breakthrough infections are people who have already been vaccinated that contract COVID. That would mean Jim Psaki, Jen Psaki, General Milley just got it. The head guy from the Army just got COVID again. A lot of President Biden's President Biden's staff is littered with people who have been vaxxed and triple vaxxed who have gotten COVID. So with this stat, 41% of the people that have already been vaccinated just got COVID again or for the first time. That tells me that this vaccine It's not working as it was originally sold. It was originally sold, you get the vax, you don't have to worry about getting the COVID virus.
That's right.
Even
Bumbling Biden said that too.
Yeah. And then that changed. The goalposts kept moving, and now we have, like the flu, we have different variants coming. Now we're on variant 3, we're on booster 1 or 2. So you get your two shots of your COVID, now you need a booster, and next month you're going to need another booster to be up to speed. And the month after that, you're going to need another booster when another variant comes around in another 3 or 4 months? Yes, it has to continue this way. Now what it tells me is that all these people who did not get vaccinated, the pure bloods, actually made the right decision. What's the point of getting vaccinated, Vito, if you get vaccinated and still get the disease? It's not even a disease. You still get the influenza.
Virus. Right.
Yeah, the virus. No, the answer would be, well, if you do get it, well, you won't go to the hospital because your symptoms will be less. All right, so now we have a bunch of vaccinated people that could have COVID, and they get the sniffles, they're not feeling too bad. So they're going to run around and go to work. They're not going to isolate themselves because they got to go to work and go about their business. But since they're having minor cases from it, it's minor as far as you're not in the hospital once you get it, they're going to be going around and spreading it to everybody else, vaccinated, unvaccinated alike. So this whole thing is all bullshit.
It really is, and you know, I'm looking at the Australian Open seeding, and of course it says number one Novak Djokovic, and it has withdrew before tournament. You know, it should say deported by the oppressive government. On Getter, a lady puts out congratulations to Novak Djokovic for escaping the Chinese Communist province of Australia. The free people of the world salute you, and she's right. Emerald Robinson, you know, a while back, a couple of years ago, Belly, our good friend, our big fat soft underbelly, said that Australia and New Zealand were the testing ground for the United Nations, and they are so true, especially after you read that statement from Australia that they didn't want the optics of a person who is unvaccinated to be in their country and to be successful. I mean, could you imagine if Djokovic was to win the Australian Open for a third consecutive time or defend his title? I believe the second time he won two in a row. But can you believe the optics of that? Here's a guy who's unvaccinated who actually wins. Mm-hmm. And it's really sad what we're seeing occurring today around the world. And this is the world body. Make no bones about it. This is the United Nations testing grounds for the world oppression. And sadly, the globalists just took away this guy's ability to,
make a living.
Now, he certainly has sponsors, but you know, the other thing that could happen very well with this, with the French Open officials making their statement, with the country of France making the statement that they did, what kind of impact will it have on sponsorship for Novak Djokovic? You know, and this is something that all of these oppressors think that they're doing things well, but yet they don't talk about the 7-year-old who died after getting the Chinese virus jab when he died of a heart attack, a 7-year-old, you know, and but they want to make an example of Novak Djokovic. And then what happens with the flu season? How can you tell about the flu season? I mean, what if you get the flu shot and you contract the flu? I just talked to a doctor's wife, friend of mine, and she got, for the first time in her life, she got the flu shot last week. And this week she's sick with the flu. Three people in her office are sick with the flu. First time she's ever gotten a flu shot. First time. And now she's sick with the flu. I said, well, are you sure it's not COVID? Because we've all had tests for it, and it's the flu.
Amazing. Well, here's kind of what Djokovic is looking at for his calendar, because they have the Dubai Duty Free Tennis Championship on February 21 to 26. Now, a spokesperson for that event told Reuters that all players would need to provide a negative PCR test before being allowed into the UAE. Players will then need to adhere to the testing protocols and processes stipulated by the ATP and the World Tennis Association. Now, next is organizers of the Monte Carlo Masters, which Djokovic has won twice, are awaiting French government guidelines for the next edition in April, while Wimbledon organizers are also yet to finalize safety arrangements for the major. Now, do you think that there's not going to be collusion between these tournament sponsors?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. If the French Open the French officials have showed their hand for the French Open already, they're exposing their hand. There's, you know, mm-hmm. You can imagine how Wimbledon is going to react to this whole thing. And of course, I guess with Chairman de Blasio gone out of New York, but his predecessor is not any or the gentleman, I forgot his name, who took over for him is not any better. What will happen with the U.S. Open and with tennis officials? And you know what? The tennis officials really have to start dropping the hammer, because if Tennis Australia has approved a professional tennis player's ability to travel inside that country and has gotten the authorization from two medical team members, okay, there has to be some give and take by the country. But you said it very well. The government of Australia doesn't want the optics of an unvaccinated individual walking freely inside their country or doing something that they're trying to prohibit the rest of the country to do. It's about putting people down. It's about keeping that fear and instilling fear. And as Holger stated, you know, with the flu shot, you don't go and get a booster if you get the flu. You know, there are no boosters for the flu. We're talking about a virus. This is absolute insanity. Absolute insanity.
Well, and even the insanity even comes to the United States, because Djokovic could have trouble even getting into the United States because foreign air travelers have to be fully vaccinated since November and provide proof before boarding flights with limited exceptions. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has said there are no exceptions for vaccine requirements for religious reasons or other moral convictions. The rule could also impact Djokovic's participation in U.S. hard court tournament in Indian Wells and Miami in March. I expect the one in Miami, he should have no problem, seeing as Ron DeSantis is the best governor in the whole country. So in other words, this Serbian, his whole career could be shut down because these tennis players, they have a window of a short window of opportunity to excel in their sport because it's a young man's game. You got so many years to play at your top. There's a few exceptions, of course, but the majority have what do you say, like a 5-year, maybe a 10-year at most to play at your very best?
Yeah, 10-year at most.
At most. And
but Djokovic actually exceeded that. You know, he because of how good of a player he is, he's actually exceeded that, I think. But he's look where he's at. He's probably at the pinnacle of his career right now. He's world's number one. See, you know what really what Djokovic needs to do? He might as well just fly to Tijuana and then or go to Texas and just come through the border. Because let's face it, under the Biden-Harris-Obama administration, you have millions of illegal, unvaccinated, infected aliens coming through the border. So why not just fly to Texas or fly to Mexico at the Mexican-Texas border? Just come over the border. That's all.
President Biden will fly you to places unknown across the country.
Get into McAllen, Texas, and the Biden-Harris-Obama administration will give you a ticket to fly to Los Angeles so he can compete over in Palm Springs.
And the sad part is, Vito, there's only three other players that are not vaccinated, professional tennis players. All the other ones are. So they're talking about minority rights being ignored.
Yep.
Like America... where majority rules, minority rights. That means the minority does not get trampled by the majority. And that's how it should be. That's what makes our constitutional republic so special. But as we see in this, and at least in the tennis world, the minority has zero rights. And it's only three people. So the World Tennis Association and the tennis leaders within the sport are going to say, well, it's only three of them. We can get by icing these people out, and the world will go on. People will forget about them, which sadly will happen.
Yeah, and that's all the more reason for the 32 men's players, okay, at the Australian Open. They just need to walk away. Just walk out. If you're going to deport one of our tennis brothers, why are we here? Yeah. And you know, it's ridiculous, but, you know, it just goes to show that there's envy for the talent of Novak Djokovic. It's selfishness, for one. You know, a lot of training has been put in by Djokovic. He doesn't take anything for granted. He's a great talent. But, hey, you know, Rafael Nadal stayed quiet. Casper Rudd is quiet. Jannik Skinner is quiet. You know, all these tennis pros are all quiet. When in fact they should stand up for their fellow professional tennis players.
In a perfect world, we don't live in a perfect world.
No, but I'll tell you what. What does it say about the United States and our constitutional republic? You know, you have to give kudos to our founders, for crying out loud, for developing a constitutional republic, because they foresaw the tyranny that could be invoked by a radical government, an out-of-control government. And this is what we have in Australia, who's beholden to the world body, France, the UK. They don't have the kind of constitution of a representative republic as the United States of America. Now, granted, the Democrat Communist Party is trying to change that, and that's the reason why they put this buffoon in the White House. But and big concurs about going through Mexico. Go to Ciudad Acuña, Mexico, cross over the Rio Grande into Del Rio, Texas, get on a flight to the next tennis tournament in the United States, and he's got it right. But somebody as wealthy as Djokovic, though, can probably, you know, hire a charter flight, and this way he can have people sitting 6 feet apart from him. he can get the, you know, get tested before he gets on the plane, get tested after he gets off the plane, and, you know, just go to the tournament in Palm Springs. It's just, it's insane. This is insane.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane.
Big Brother's here, and it's getting really bad.
Yeah, it is. You know what? I have to give kudos to the Supreme Court. You know, we
half
this
kudo.
Past the what's that?
Half a kudo.
Well, half a kudo. You know, you're absolutely right. It's half a kudo. So chalk one up for, you know, half a kudo for the constitutional patriots. You know, the U.S. Supreme Court halted bubbling Biden's anti-constitutional China virus vaccine mandate 3 days after OSHA illegally administered emergency measures went into effect. It's refreshing. Okay. Now, it was a 6-4 vote. The Supreme Court on Thursday halted Biden administration's COVID-19 vaccine mandate for large businesses. You've got the bumbling Biden had issued an edict for OSHA to undertake that any employer with 100 employees or more would require employees to be vaccinated or submit to weekly China virus testing. Bubbling Joe Biden announced a sweeping COVID-19 vaccination mandate for large businesses in September. And remember now, candidate Biden lied. He flat out lied. He said he would never invoke vaccine mandates. There would never be any mandates, government mandates, and he flat out lied. You know, this is what the man has a propensity for. He can't tell the truth. And he says anything, anywhere, it doesn't matter. Just like popcorn, he beat popcorn up, you know, in the back streets, and his mother's, you know, he said it, he walked in civil rights marches, and he, you know, the man is a pathological liar. So Biden announced a sweeping COVID-19 vaccination mandates for large business in September. It would have affected more than 80 million Americans. The order required workers at businesses with 100 or more employees to get vaccinated against the Chinese virus or submit a negative Chinese virus test weekly in order to work. The order also forced unvaccinated workers to wear a mask indoors at work. The order was challenged with lawsuits from 27 states, and that's actually the majority of states. So in case, you know, bumbling Biden doesn't understand the old math, that was the majority of states. In a 6-3 vote, oops, I said 6-4, my apologies. 6-3 vote, the Supreme Court blocked bumbling Biden's business vaccine mandate. The Supreme Court declared that Biden administration exceeded its authority by having the Occupational Safety and Health Administration enforce the mandate. That would be OSHA. OSHA has never been imposed such a mandate, nor has Congress. Indeed, although Congress has enacted significant legislation addressing the China virus pandemic, it has declined to enact any measure similar to what OSHA has promulgated here, the conservative judge wrote in an unsigned opinion. And that's all you really need to know about that part of it. Exceeded their authority. Biden exceeded his authority. And he weaponized OSHA. He weaponized OSHA just like Obama weaponized the IRS to go after the enemies. And, you know, this is further proof that the Biden-Harris-Obama administration are anti-constitutional. They are anti-constitutionalists. Whatever they touch turns to crap. And this little dictator Joe Biden wants to invoke more and more oppressive edicts. And you know, it's enough, man. It's enough. And I'm so happy that the Supreme Court actually had, in a 6-3 decision, decided to slap this down. This is ridiculous. This is
President Biden. Damn close, because President Biden, what he did, he tried to do a runaround. Because normally something of this magnitude that's going to impact this many people must and should go through the legislative process, make a law, have it go through the whole winding process, difficult process by design, and then make it a law. But he tried to short-circuit that by going through OSHA, and he failed, at least half-failed.
Half-failed,
so,
right.
Now, but it still all depends on the states. Your state may be may already have those mandates in place, so even if you're a business over 100 people and you want to do it, well, and your state allows it, you can still do it. However, if you want to rescind it, you have that option as well. And my guess is people, businesses want to keep their workers, so they will rescind it. And so that's a good thing. That was a win. So thank you, SCOTUS. That's
well, and then you've got Biden going out there and along with Baghdad Bob Jinsaki and telling businesses that don't listen to the Supreme Court's decision, still
mm-hmm.
place this onerous edict in place. And it's like, wait a minute here. Hold on a second. You know, this is the same. These are the same people that sit there with their soundbite, their infamous soundbite, the rule of law. You know, we heard that ad nauseum with Barack Obama. Well, the rule of law. Hillary Rodham Clinton. Well, we've got to respect the rule of law. And then Biden with the rule of law. Excuse me. The rule of law has spoken. And it says that your edict is unconstitutional. Your oppressive and tyrannical edict is unconstitutional in our constitutional republic. You overstepped your boundaries. You cannot weaponize OSHA. And then you've got Baghdad Bob Jinsaki just a day later and buffoon Biden saying, you know, don't listen to the Supreme Court. Still implement, you know, my edict. It's like, you know, screw you. Who do you think you are? You're not King Biden. You're not a dictator. You're little dictator Joe Biden. You're the president of the United States not by choice. You know, you can't unilaterally issue these edicts. Start slapping down this tyranny. This is absolutely ridiculous. But he's the perfect little chimpanzee to be invoking these onerous edicts. I mean, this is not communist China. This isn't communist Soviet Union. This is the United States of America. And for this guy and his little chimpanzees to start talking about, well, don't listen to what the United States Supreme Court said. Excuse me. Okay, then you know what? Let's ban abortions. Well, you can't do that. My body, my choice. Well, excuse me. You said not to listen to the Supreme Court. Goodness, I can't believe it. I mean, they've already abridged all five components of the First Amendment, and then they're going to go after the Second Amendment of the United States Constitution. They violated the Fourth Amendment. They've already violated the Sixth Amendment with illegally detaining or unnecessarily detaining those people that were arrested on January the 6th, not giving them a fair and speedy trial. And now, you know, he's going after the judicial branch and saying, hey, don't listen to what their decision was. Oh my God. This is a guy who spent his entire life living off the American taxpayer teat. And he's telling businesses, don't listen to the Supreme Court. Holy shit, what kind of treasonous bastard is this guy? it's unbelievable. The Supreme Court just allowed national vaccination requirements for healthcare workers at medical facilities that accept Medicare or Medicaid, potentially affecting 76,000 healthcare facilities as well as home healthcare providers, according to the Associated Press. And isn't it interesting, Al? I don't know of any hospitals that don't take Medicare or Medicaid. I mean, this is it's insane. I mean, in a 5-4 decision with Justice Roberts and Brett Kavanaugh joining the liberal justices, I can't believe that Kavanaugh sided with the decision to continue to maintain the vaccine mandate for healthcare workers in hospitals and nursing. I can't believe that Kavanaugh did. I expected John Roberts to turn. I mean, because he is a milquetoast individual. I didn't expect Brad Kavanaugh to do so. And that's disappointing.
Yeah, but fundamentally, they're both somewhat equal cases. One's the federal government. One is private business.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how can something be constitutionally wrong for a public private business But okay if you're a federal government entity.
Exactly. Exactly. I just, you know, it's not right. You know, this whole pandemic is really, really showing some true colors. And, you know, the ability for these elected officials to flex their muscles and to invoke oppression, invoke tyranny, invoke intolerance is absolutely mind-boggling. It really is. Yeah. It just tells you, you know, what these people, that they have no respect for the American people. I mean, this is a soundbite this week from Baghdad Bob Jinsaki. And I found it very troubling because our founders were pretty clear in crafting the U.S. Constitution. And it only took, what, 244 years for this to come out of the White House. And listen, it's 15 seconds. Just listen to this.
At this moment in history, as we're looking at efforts across the country to prevent people from being able to exercise their fundamental rights.
Did I hear you right?
To prevent people from being able to exercise their fundamental rights.
Well, at least you're being honest.
I mean, the Constitution of the United States, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, promote and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity, do ordain and establish the Constitution for the United States of America. And you have this administration, the Biden Harris Obama administration, trampling on your constitutional rights. They are rewriting 244 years of history and calling and referring to this country as a democracy, when in fact America was founded upon constitutional republic principles. And now you have an administration, a Biden Harris Obama administration, telling you that they will prevent people from exercising their God-given rights. I just, you know, and then we look at these decisions and they're using the pandemic as a means of instilling fear and oppressing people. And people are robots. People are robots. I was in a grocery store today and I ran into a friend. Hey, where's your mask? Well, it was in Berlin. That's where I left it, in Berlin. I mean, you know, that's just, and as loud as could be, too. Hey, how you doing? Where's your mask? I left it in Berlin. My wife just took off. Poof. She took off. She didn't want any part of it. It's like, really?
Oh, my God.
Yes. Yeah.
That's crazy. Well, here's the thing to think about with this federal mandate. Now that the federal mandate has been approved by SCOTUS, technically, that could impact every unvaccinated person that has to go to a hospital for medical care, whether it be for heart issues, you break a leg, you need back surgery, maybe unrelated, just normal maintenance. You need – pick the procedure. You have to go to a hospital. You may not be able to if you are unvaccinated. You're probably going – come on, Al, that's crazy. That's never going to happen. But PJ Media had a story out yesterday. Come on, man. Well, PJ Media put out a story yesterday. Family fights for ivermectin for dying loved one. Courts say no. Daniel Pisano is dying of COVID. He's been on a ventilator in Florida for 28 days, now at the Mayo Clinic. His doctor's given less than a 5% chance of survival. His wife and son want him treated with the COVID plan recommended by Frontline COVID-19 Critical Care Alliance, or the FLCC, and involves using ivermectin. They want Dr. Eduardo Balbona to treat their family member. The Mayo Clinic refused. The family went to court, hoping the court would force the clinic to allow an outside doctor to treat Pisano. The judge, Mariano Ajo, decided against it. And we touched on this a little bit last week, but they appealed the decision and lost that court battle too. They don't get to decide what course to take for the 70-year-old Pisano. Can you imagine? You're a doctor. This person has a 5% chance of survival, and you won't even give them a FDA-certified drug that's been on the market for decades called ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, whatever their protocols are, and they said, no, you cannot give those medicines to this patient who will die. Whatever happened to the Hippocratic Oath? Do no harm. These doctors are doing harm, and I'm afraid that this rotten cancer is already well-placed and grown and metastasizing within the medical field all across this country. Medical care as we know it prior to a year ago is dead, buried, and gone. It is a new world for medicine. And you better become your own doctor, you better become your own advocate, and you better learn about everything that you need to go through regarding a medical procedure, because the medical doctors, in certain cases, may not have your best interests at heart. And that scares me to death, and God help if I ever have to go into the hospital. I'm going to be the world's worst patient.
You know, Sue... from New Mexico had posted a video of an interview with Dr. Pierre Corey. And he was being interviewed, and he addressed the question of why not therapeutics? You know, why aren't they treating with therapeutics? And I have to paraphrase because when you said that, it prompted me thinking about the video that I watched, that interview I watched with Dr. Corey. And Dr. Corey explained it perfectly about why, you know, his fellow physicians, why many of them are not using or prescribing or allowing the administration of therapeutics. And it boiled down to an ego thing, where some of these doctors, well, actually majority of them now, don't want to show that they were wrong. So they're just going to follow like little sheep. You know, they're going to follow along instead of stepping outside the box. And Dr. Corey has, you know, his own studies where ivermectin's worked 100% of the time. Oh, excuse me. It didn't work. One person died out of what, 3,200? Or something like some outrageous number, 3,300. And when I find it, it was a Future News put out the interview, and I don't know who is Dr. Corey is being interviewed by, but I do have it, and I did save it. I just wasn't able to upload the video. That would be a really good audio to listen to, and to the point where Dr. Corey does address that very question, Al. And it turns out that the egos of these doctors are being bruised, and they don't want to perceive to be wrong. And yet, you know, we ask about what about their Hippocratic Oath and treating people and treating the patient afflicted with the China virus. And why wouldn't you use any type of therapeutics to heal this person? Instead, it's the book says to put them on a ventilator when they get to this point, when in fact they didn't have to get to that point. And that's the sick part of this whole thing. That's why there's something absolutely wrong with this pandemic. And as time is going on, okay, we're learning more and more that Fauci lied. We're learning more and more that where the virus had emanated, where it emanated from. And it wasn't a market. It wasn't from bats. And you know, this whole thing stinks to high heaven. And then you see the edicts that are coming down out of Australia and now France and the UK. And oh my God, if you're not vaccinated, you have three eyes. And it's just, people are dying from it. Let's not talk about that. 41% of the people now that, you know, contracting the China virus are vaccinated people, which means that Joe Biden lied once again when he said, if you get the vaccinated man, you won't catch the virus man. You know, again, he lied. you know, I'm not going to invoke mandates in America. And then he's pushing for mandates, and he's looking to separate society from the vaccinated and the unvaccinated, and make the unvaccinated out to be, you know, evil anti-Americans, when in fact Joe Biden is the anti-constitutionalist. Like, man, just wow. Wow. Man, the campaign and the cabal is doing a great job in really instilling fear into the hearts of the disbelievers, aren't they? God, my.
Well, it's been over 2 years. The fear part is gone. Now it's compliance, and people are complying. Just like your friend at the grocery store came up to you and felt comfortable going, "Where's your mask?"
Yeah.
Like. Like, if you're not wearing a mask, and he's concerned about the mask, he would stay far away from you. But he got up in your face and was giving you a hard time.
Wait, he didn't get in my face.
But he felt comfortable doing it.
Yeah,
close enough.
Exactly.
I'm sure he was closer than 6 feet. But either way, he was. He had no fear coming up to you and giving you a hard time.
Yeah, I have to tell you something. This even made this whole thing even funnier. So.
Yeah.
He yells, as he's approaching me, so he's probably 15 feet from me, and he's probably, "Hey, how you doing? Hey, where's your mask?" And I said, "It's in Berlin." And this, I swear to God, this Asian couple was walking in back of him, and they were both unmasked. And the guy looked at me, and he started laughing. He smiled. He turned back to his wife, and he looked at her, and he's got a big old grin on his face, and he walks in. And my wife took off. She was gone. She didn't want any part of it. I get one of those. Yeah. Okay.
So the Asian couple got the Nazi reference.
They got the Nazi reference. Yeah, they did. I didn't think he liked it.
And your friend had no clue. That makes it even funnier.
No, because you know what he said after that? After I said I left it in Berlin, he goes, "Oh, you're one of those. You probably didn't even get the vaccine either." It's like, hey.
Oh,
nice
my
day.
God.
Oh, yeah. No, I honestly just like that was my first real encounter with somebody. Yeah, I'm just waiting. So.
Wow. I guess you're going to take him off your Christmas card list.
Yeah. See if I help him. Hey, but the Supreme Court was actually got 2 out of 3 right. This story from Bare Naked Islam. The U.S. Supreme Court refused to hear the appeal filed for ISIS bride traitor Hoda Muthanna to get back into the United States. Hoda Muthanna is a traitor to America. She consciously made the decision to leave the United States and travel to Syria and join ISIS to be a ISIS bride, and she sired a child. She had a U.S. passport, but she gleefully burned it. She wished harm on the United States of America, the very country that gave her an opportunity to experience freedom and individual liberties and grow up in a country where one could participate in any faith or religion, even atheism. Now, her parents are Islamic. Hoda was born in America while her Yemeni father maintained diplomatic status. So when Hoda was born, she is not a U.S. citizen because Papa is a Yemeni diplomat. So Hoda chose to leave the United States and join the Islamic State. And the U.S. Supreme Court did the right thing, and they refused to hear her appeal, which means that she is not allowed in the United States of America. I can't believe the Supreme Court did 2 out of 3 things right.
Well, she did call for death to America and killing Americans. So basically she's an enemy combatant. She left her country of origin to fight for an enemy of the United States. That makes her a traitor.
She said in the documentary that her experience with ISIS was this horrible way of life that I really regret for the rest of my life and that I wish I could just erase. She also said that she never actually took part in jihad, although she did sire a child. Muthanna surrendered to U.S.-backed Syrian Democratic Forces as Islamic State fighters were losing the last of their self-declared caliphate in Iraq and Syria and going to a refugee camp. So she's had three husbands, and all three were killed, right? Muthanna said she regretted her decision. Her current whereabouts aren't clear. But Max Abrams said, I'm not sympathetic. These women had agency. They're not stupid. He's a terrorism expert from Northeastern University, told People the same year. They knew exactly what the Islamic State was all about. It was notorious for flaunting violence over social media. Can you imagine he actually said that? I can't believe that somebody actually said that. While she was overseas, the government determined she was not a U.S. citizen, even though she had a passport. The reason she is not a citizen is due to her father's status as a diplomat for Yemen at the time of her birth, as Alabama News reported. Her family then sued, tried to enable Muthanna's return to the States, but in 2019, a federal judge confirmed the government's assessment that Muthanna was not a citizen. The judge ruled that children of diplomats are not entitled to birthright citizenship in the United States. And about that time, the United States rejected radicalism. It's about time. The real terrorist threats are not the soccer moms and dads who support their children and stand up for education, okay, in local meetings. Americans exercising their First Amendment right to petition the government are not terrorists. But if you leave the United States and you burn your passport and you wish harm upon the United States of America and you join ISIS and you sire a child from an ISIS terrorist, you might be a terrorist. You might be an enemy combatant. As a matter of fact, you're nothing but a traitor. Good for the Supreme Court. You can find the story in Bare Naked Islam. I'll post it in the chat room. I just don't feel sorry for her.
Nor should you. I didn't realize that she – that's – the new information I got out of this, I didn't know that she'd already whored her way through three ISIS fighters who all died on the battlefield.
Yeah. Yep. The first
she's
one.
An ISIS sperm bucket who is basically her sole purpose in life is to put out ISIS baby cubs for future fighters. It didn't matter. Husband one dies. Oh. Take husband two fighter. He dies, husband three. It's not love. It's just she's a human cum bucket. Or an ISIS cum bucket. Sharmuta. Sharmuta. You want to learn a new word? You ever heard sharmuta? It's Arabic for whore. She's a sharmuta.
I said all three were killed. My bad. It was two of the three were killed.
Oh, well.
And one of the two, the first two were the ones who fathered the child. So little jihadis grow up to be big jihadis. And the fact is that if you're going to maintain, and she's going to maintain her fundamentalism, she will then indoctrinate her child who may or may not, you know, want to seek vengeance upon the infidel for killing their father. You can't take that chance. And the fact is that she surrendered her citizenship once she joined an enemy combatant, and that would be the Islamic State. And just because the Islamic State collapsed doesn't mean you have the right to just come back. So kudos to the U.S. Supreme Court. And, of course, the Muslims in America Law Center, her legal team is the Constitutional Law Center for Muslims in America, which said they will continue to fight for Muthanna's reentry into the United States, even now that the Supreme Court has refused to hear her appeal they filed, according to the Washington Post. So she's been trying to get back into the United States with her son claiming citizenship since she was born in the States. Nope. Supreme Court finally upheld the ruling that your father was a diplomat and therefore you're not a citizen of the United States. And that's what you see. This was an interesting decision one that I wasn't sure that the Supreme Court would uphold. In a sense, they refused to hear it because the Supreme Court did agree that since her father was a diplomat, she does not have birthright citizenship in the United States. I'm telling you, this poses the question. If, in fact, Kamala Harris's father had maintained diplomatic status when she was born in 1961, does that not mean that she's not a citizen of the United States? And then she moves to Canada at age 7 with her mother. That's why this decision was so important. Now, I didn't think that the Supreme Court would uphold
drinking
this.
Water
and they,
before bed burns 46
and they did. So it's really interesting to see that the ramifications for this, it could be huge. I mean, it could be huge.
Well, if it'll keep ISIS out of the country, then fantastic.
Yes.
It's amazing it even had to go this far in order to be decided. But
and one more thing. The New York Post had a headline. It was February the 19th, 2019. And this is what the New York Post cover was. This Alabama woman joined ISIS and called for death of Americans. Now that it's defeated, she wants to come home, tears of a traitor. Wow. Wow. That was pretty powerful. Kudos.
Oh, she's like that. She's like that. She would be, her coming to the United States would be like that volcano that's erupting in Tonga right now, causing tsunamis off the coast. And she would be like that volcano in the middle of the ocean, and all of a sudden she's going to explode into ISIS, bitch.
You're not buying the this whole tears these tears, eh?
No. That'd be like you shedding tears for the synagogue jihadi.
Oh,
nobody
my gosh.
Seems to know exactly why he did what he did.
Yeah.
Everybody's all confused.
Again, the FBI, we are not sure what their motive was. You know, first of all, this hostage situation, I'm sure everybody heard of the hostage situation in Texas this past Saturday at a Colleysville synagogue in Texas. And it's funny because what's funny, but it's kind of funny that the message was we weren't sure what his motive was. In the meantime, this guy was stating that he wanted Aifa Siddiqui, the lady of Al-Qaeda, freed from jail. But we're not sure what his motive was. You know, go to war in separate groups or go to war altogether, you know, chapter 4, verse 74 of the Quran, or go to war for the sake of Allah, lay not burdens on any but yourself and provoke the believers. And it's exactly what Ajam Chaudhary did, was provoke the believers, which was Malik Faisal Akram, age 44, who flew from the United Kingdom, from England, flies to New York City, gets off a plane, and somehow, no one's even answering how, this Islamic terrorist goes from New York City to Houston, Texas. No one can answer that question. And first of all, how did the British authorities not detain this individual who was, one, a criminal, secondly, was known to police, who talked openly about wishing he had been on one of those planes of 9/11. How in the world does the United Kingdom authorities allow this man to get on a plane and fly overseas into the United States of America? And then the New York Times, breaking news headlines, the FBI identified a British citizen who was killed after taking four people hostage at a Texas synagogue. Here's what we know so far. He was a British citizen, okay? And we're going to indict Great Britain for turning out a terrorist, but we have to find out why. Why did the British authorities allow Malik Faisal Akram to board a plane and fly internationally, irrespective? It was the United States, it was Canada, it could have been Australia, who knows where. But why is this guy allowed to travel? And, of course, nowhere in that New York Times article does it mention Malik Faisal Akram's religion, his religious affiliation. Well, his parents might be Muslim. Oh, they hail from Yemen. They might be Muslim. They might, his ancestry might be Muslim. But really, the FBI deserves kudos. They did a great job in stopping this Islamic terrorist. But to send out sound bites that we're not sure what his motive was. Excuse me, but Mr. Akram was demanding that his sister, Aifa Siddiqui, an Islamic jihadist, a terrorist known as the Lady of Al-Qaeda, be released from federal custody. And you're not sure what the motive was for this? Is the campaign of deceit by the Muslim Brotherhood has worked perfectly. Has worked perfectly. And Holger wants to know if he was vaccinated, though. Did he catch any? Do you know if he was vaccinated?
Well, he's a tennis player, so he was gonna he had a few tennis tournaments. But here's the thing: how people are ignorant. The FBI is ignorant on this Islamo-terrorism, because when the terrorist jihadi referred to Aifa Siddiqui as a sister, they took it literally. And every follower of Islam refers to other followers of Islam as their brothers and sisters. It's not a familial relation. It's just a term. It's a term of Islam. But the FBI got it wrong. The New York Times got it wrong. Every news agency got it wrong. But here's Andrew Hatred put out a piece that, and I'll give you two paragraphs of this. It's just fantastic. When a Jew hater storms a synagogue with a gun and takes Jews hostages on the holy Jewish day of Shabbat, let's call it what it is, a racist Jew-hating hate crime. And let's not forget the crime of incitement. Within the past 2 months, the Council on American Islamic Relations, CARE, labeled Jewish synagogues the, quote, enemy, and held an event in Texas featuring Jew hater Linda Sarsour that whipped up a furor to release, quote, Lady Al-Qaeda terrorist Aifa Siddiqui. That's who this whole thing is about. Now just a few miles away, a Jew hater storms a synagogue, takes Jews hostage, and demands the release of the same terrorist, Aifa Siddiqui. This attack was the result of a systemic Jew hatred and organizations like CARE inciting Jew hatred. It's time to call Jew hatred by its name and to denounce all those who trade in it. Now that is three paragraphs of truth.
Boy,
can you handle the truth?
You can't handle the truth.
Put you that know, in your hookah and smoke it, all you Jew-hating bastards.
You can't handle the truth.
But, Al, this is the systemic problem in the United States, which, again, in my opinion, we've been doing this for you know, how many years now, 14, 15 years. The campaign of disinformation and misinformation by the Muslim Brotherhood and their front groups, the campaign of deceit, the campaign to distract people from the truth. I will never forget that early on in the 2000s after 9/11, and you remember because I know you took part in this, the campaign from like 2003 to 2007 was to challenge Americans to learn the Quran, learn about Islam, know the Quran, right? And so Americans then took part in learning the Quran. You, myself, many others who had not been exposed to the Islamic religion. Then once we started learning about Islam and we started reading the Quran, you start realizing where the motivation stems, where it comes from. So the word of Allah can't be challenged. The word of Allah can't be changed. And you see verse after verse, like verse 474, where you go to war in separate groups or you go to war altogether. Or you look at verse 484, so engage in war for the sake of Allah, lay not burdens on any but yourself, and provoke the believers. And still, the campaign to excuse these actions and to make Muslims into victims and not hold these jihadis accountable for, I believe the term they use, that the Muslim Brotherhood uses, is perverting their religion. So you have two parts. You have a quick disclaimer by the Muslim Brotherhood front groups. Well, that person was perverting their religion, or that Islamic jihadist suffers from what? Mental illness. Now, this is the campaign of deceit and disinformation, when in fact, if you go back and you start connecting the dots, you find out that a Muslim activist by the name of Linda Sarsour was calling out Jewish synagogues, calling out the Jews in the synagogues, what, just a month ago? And suddenly, like within miles of where this rally to condemn synagogues occurred, is where an Islamic jihadist enters a synagogue and holds four people hostage, including a rabbi, and then demands that the lady of Al-Qaeda, the jihadist terrorist Aifa Siddiqui, be released. It's no coincidence. This is not a coincidence. And I'm not understanding why. You know, we get it. Bigfoot gets it. Holzer gets it. Dogs gets it. You know, certainly Moving gets it. Ducky gets it. Sue gets it. I mean, Belly gets it. What's going on? What part of... You're not a bigot. You're not an Islamophobe. So the campaign of Islamophobia that was conjured up by the Muslim Brotherhood is an effective tool, because it instills fear. It dumbs people down to not look at reality. Judge Jeanine had been suspended from Fox News because she had the audacity. Judge Jeanine had the audacity to make the following statement. Thinking about it, Omar, incestuous Ilhan Omar, wears a hijab, which, according to the Quran 3359, tells women to cover so they won't get molested. Is her adherence to this Islamic doctrine indicative of her adherence to Sharia, which in itself is antithetical to the U.S. Constitution? And that sums up antithetical to the United States Constitution. Sharia is antithetical to the U.S. Constitution. You know, isn't it ironic that Linda Sarsour exercises her First Amendment right of free speech, and she is inciting her fellow Muslims, her fellow brothers and sisters of Islam, to go to war in separate groups or go to war altogether, and our bigotry and our anti-Semitism against Jews, condemning synagogues in the United States and demanding that Aifa Siddiqui's be released from federal prison. And then just weeks later, this Islamic jihadist comes in from the UK and goes to the same area of Texas.
Just a coincidence.
Just a coincidence. And somehow it's labeled that mainstream. Now, see, this is where the play on words is fantastic. Mainstream U.S. Muslim groups have called for Aifa Siddiqui's release. Mainstream. How mainstream is it? What's that?
That would be CARE.
Yeah.
Council on American Islamic Relations. They had a... That was their primary focus. And then, lo and behold, this jihadi comes over from over the pond and targets a Jewish synagogue right near where Siddiqui is being held.
Yeah. Yep. And apparently he was a disciple of Ijem Chowdhury.
Oh. So luckily, FBI iced him.
Yes.
Now he's taking the celestial dirt nap And adios, amigo.
I got to tell you, though, what else is troubling about this, and let me find it here. I thought it was kind of ironic that I lost my page here. Ah, son of a gun.
Well, as you're looking, there's a Michigan Islamic scholar named Sheikh Ahmed Jibril. And Memory, the Middle East Media Research Institute, have printed an article that Michigan Islamic scholar Sheikh Ahmed Jibril, he stated that capturing Muslim women used to be considered a declaration of war, led Muslim rulers to eradicate towns, Aifa Siddiqui, an icon of Muslim women held unjustly in prison. He essentially said that that her being held is technically an act of war in Islam, and he is an Islamic scholar and a sheikh. So this is a guy who knows Islam better than anybody else.
Yeah. I tell you, it just – the adherence to the Islamic doctrine always is first and foremost. And I was looking for the quote, and I can't find it, but the quote by the brother of Malik Faisal Akram stated that his brother now is in heaven, and he is he's in paradise with the 72 virgins. Well, excuse me, but is he being martyred now?
Well, he's a jihadi, and technically he died in the furthering of Islam. Therefore, he's entitled to a seat up in Jannah, which is called heaven, for the followers of Islam. So there you go.
Well, wait a minute now. Mr. Agram was demanding that his sister, Aifa Siddiqui, an Islamic jihadist, a terrorist known as the Lady of Al-Qaeda, be released from federal custody. Akram claimed he and his sister will be going to Jannah after he sees her, the department said in a statement on Saturday before the rescue. Son of a gun, Al.
Well, he referred to as a sister, not his biological sister.
Correct.
So the reporting on it is all wrong.
So right. Well, it's not wrong.
That's just a detail.
It's not wrong. And again, it's the ignorance of the media for not separating that out.
Yeah.
But hey, don't be too sad, because there were some tweets that were sent out. And one of them was from a gentleman by the name of Wajah Ali. Did you happen to see that? Wajah Ali? And as predicted, the victim card was being played out by the Islamists. When he tweeted out, "You're about to hear some ugly and vicious Islamophobia and anti-Muslim bigotry this weekend from elected officials, commentators, and even mainstream media. Hope I'm wrong. People will use it to divide Jewish and Muslim communities for their political agenda. Don't fall for it." So would you read what Linda Sarsour did? Do you have access to that statement that you read just a few seconds ago?
Well, they didn't go into what Linda Sarsour said.
No, but she was actively condemning synagogues, wasn't she?
Right. Within the past 2 months, the CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, labeled Jewish synagogues the enemy and held an event in Texas featuring Linda Sarsour that whipped up a furor to release the Lady Al-Qaeda, the terrorist Aifa Siddiqui.
There you go. And so now you've got this Wajah Ali tweeting out, "Boy, I hope I'm wrong. People will use it to divide Jews and Muslim communities for their political agenda." Oh, but it's okay when CARE does it. It's okay when Linda Sarsour does it. And, you know, Malik Faisal Akram was already banned from Blackburn Magistrate Court for repeatedly threatening and abusing court staff and ranting about wishing he had died on 9/11. So instead of Wajahat Ali playing the victim card and the Muslim Brotherhood Islamophobia card, maybe Wajahat Ali should have demanded a better vetting process so Islamic terrorists are better prevented from entering the United States of America, such as Malik Faisal Akram, who had been previously known to police. See, it's not about vetting, and it's not about assimilation or integration. It's always about domination and playing the victim. It's about Islamophobia right away. Condition Americans into believing Muslims in America are oppressed and victims, which is absolute hogwash. And what's so laughable is how shameless Islamists are. They are like the Democrat Communist Party with uttering their slogans and sound bites to distract people and to condition them. You know, well, people will use this to divide the Jewish communities in their political agenda, right? Would it be like Rashida Tlaib, which since going to Congress has divided Jews and Muslims with her anti-Semitic, anti-Israel, Jew-hating rants? You know, how about when Tlaib stated, there's kind of a calming feeling. I always tell folks, when I think of the Holocaust and the tragedy of the Holocaust, or when Tlaib falsely accuses Israel of ethnic cleansing. And what about the division of Tlaib as she supports the BDS movement, the anti-Israel movement, huh? Why doesn't Wajahat Ali condemn those hateful and anti-Semitic divisive remarks from his Islamic sister, Rashida Tlaib? Or how about the incestuous Ilhan Omar with her chronic and habitual anti-Semitic attacks on Israel and the Jews, huh? Jewish members of Congress haven't been partners in justice. They haven't been equally engaging in seeking justice around the world. Or how about with Omar mocking Israel's democracy, and she laughs about Israel as a democratic state and compares it to the Iranian regime? I guess that's a way to divide the Jewish and Muslim communities, and Ilhan Omar exemplifies that divisiveness. And furthermore, she's rewarded for her divisiveness by being assigned to key House committees by Speaker of the House. Not accountable for her actions. But Omar did unite the Muslim world with her anti-Jew rhetoric, including the Muslim Brotherhood, when she uttered the infamous words about 9/11/2001, the Islamic attack on America, when she stated that, well, some people may have done something. You know, that day when some people did something. Some people. That's a hell of a word, a statement of unity. There is a way to unite her Muslim Brotherhood, Muslim brothers and sisters, and divide them from America. And Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib are masters of that. And of course, let's not forget about CARE, okay, and the co-founder Omar Ahmad and what he stated. And the mission statement of the Muslim Brotherhood, the mission statement of CARE, Islam is not in America to be equal, but to become dominant. The Quran, the Muslim book of scripture, should be the highest authority in America, and Islam, the only accepted religion on earth. Islam is not in America to be equal, but to become dominant. And again, that's the domination. It's not about assimilation. It's not about integration. It's about domination. So all of these sound bites that are put out, all of this dawah, all of this taqiyya that's being furthered and spewed, okay, by Islamists like Wajahat Ali and CARE, quickly playing the victim card. You're about to hear some ugly and vicious Islamophobia and anti-Muslim bigotry this weekend from elected officials, commentators, even mainstream media. Hope I'm wrong. People will use it to divide Jewish and Muslim communities for their political agenda. Well, you know something? Rashida Tlaib has done a masterful job in dividing the Jewish and Muslim communities. And the other person who does it on a daily basis and ad nauseum is incestuous Ilhan Omar. And she's endorsed by Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi. There's no accountability for that. And yes, Reuben, okay, the Fort Hood shooter I forgot his name now. He is Nadalasan. Yes, Nadalasan is getting VIP care. He is paralyzed, but he's in prison. He's getting VIP care. The soldier of Allah is getting care. Okay, he killed 13 people, including a pregnant woman, and wounded 30, and he's getting VIP treatment as the soldier of Allah.
Well, President, remember this. President Biden called Kyle Rittenhouse a white supremacist. He wasted no time, but he won't speculate on motive of Malik Faisal Akram.
Yeah.
He says, on Sunday, President Biden acknowledged the Texas synagogue hostage situation, dubbing the incident an act of terror, but refused to speculate on Akram's motives when asked by the reporters. He said, no, I don't. There's speculation, but I'm not going to get into that. I'm going to have a press conference tomorrow on Wednesday, and I'll be happy to go into detail of what I know in detail at that time, Biden said in a press conference Sunday.
And
when it came to Kyle Rittenhouse, he's more than happy to call him a white supremacist, which ended up being a total lie, and he literally divided the country at the time. So he's as bad as everybody else.
Yes,
Let's
he is.
Let's go, Brandon. LGB.
Let's go, Brandon.
Let's go, Brandon.
You know, in that commentary.
You're okay. You're not gonna get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
Somebody gotta do it. Hey, let's go, Brandon. I keep it drawn like I'm Nick Cannon. Hey, let's go, Brandon.
Yeah, and in that statement that Let's Go Brandon gave, in that same statement where you don't want to jump to conclusions, he set the stage to attack the Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution and is calling for gun control. Because this terrorist got a gun off the streets, okay, now that I'm surprised they even went down that road to talk about a gun, being acquired off the streets, okay, so Let's Go Brandon now wants to talk about, curtailing Second Amendment, too. I mean, gun rights, hey, gun control, hey, this is an opportunity, I've been talking about gun control, you know, this is an anti-constitutionalist, and this is what anti-constitutionalists do. Only the criminals will have guns. Okay, and then the weaponry will be much far superior by the government forces, and this is what this anti-constitutionalist wants to do. He wants to take yours and my gun away, and that's what they do best. Not look at and address the issue of, one, why was Malik allowed in the United States? Why was Malik allowed to get on a plane in the United Kingdom? And secondly, how did he get through customs in America? Having a criminal record, he was locked up for harassing girls. His brother was running a massive counterfeiting operation in Blackburn Home in the UK. And you're telling me that this guy who was spewing pro-Islamic statements about wanting to be killed, why didn't I die in the 9/11 attack? How do you allow this man to get on a plane in the United Kingdom when he was known to police? But see, that's not the issue. The issue now is gun control. And this is what fear-mongering anti-constitutionalists do. They don't look at the root cause of this. They look at a means of starting to erode the Constitution. They're doing a great job in dismantling the First Amendment, suppressing free speech, beating down Americans and preventing them from redressing the government for grievances. And then, of course, we all know about the peaceably assemble aspect of it, using a pandemic to disperse Americans and not allow them to even gather for holidays in their own homes. And then, of course, the freedom of religion. Oh, you don't have any religious rights in not getting the jab. Okay. Oh, suddenly religious aspect of it is gone. And as Dog said in the chat room, Democrats love to divide. Obama did it. Biden is just like him and actually under his control. Good statement. Hey, it was Obama-Biden administration that first started dividing America. Actually, it was a little bit before that, but they put it on fast track. And now Biden is doing exactly what was done under the Obama-Biden regime. The Biden-Harris-Obama regime is doing exactly that. Why was this man, Malik Akram, allowed to board a plane in the United Kingdom to travel across the pond to the United States? That's the question. You know, the FBI did a great job on the ground. The FBI agents on the ground did a great job in eliminating this Islamic terrorist. And they prevented four deaths of innocent Jewish people. And are you telling me that there's now there's no questions, you know, being asked about the travel issues? Go ahead, Al.
Well, when you mention Obama, this is breaking news. Biden frees alternate 9/11 hijacker and military base truck bomber plotter from Gitmo. Now, we all remember Obama's obsession with freeing as many Islamic terrorists from Gitmo as possible, the ones who remained were the absolute worst of the worst, and there was no disagreement in that. But now President Biden is setting them loose too. According to Daniel Greenfield in, Front Page Mag, five Islamic terrorists, Al-Qaeda and allies have been scheduled for release from custody. We don't have a date yet, but they're scheduled for release. They include Osama bin Laden bodyguards and murderous terrorists with blood on their hands. I'll give you the first one up on the list. We don't have time to go through all of them, but they all have equally interesting resumes. Zuhail al-Sharabi, not to beat this Islamic topic like the dead horse that it is, but he trained with How to Function in Western Cities, reading airline tables alongside 9/11 hijacker Nawaf al-Hazmi. He also met Khalid al-Midar, who along with al-Hazmi was part of the crew that hijacked American Airlines 77 for the attack on the Pentagon. You remember that day back in 2001?
Mm-hmm.
Well, al-Sharabi had been part of an expanded version of the September 11th attacks that would have targeted American planes in Southeast Asia, either blowing them up in midair or hijacking them to crash into American military bases. That part of the operation was canceled by al-Qaeda. That's just an appetizer to the other four that are just as bad and have blood on their hands. President Biden feels that letting these worst of the worst of these Islamic terrorists free. After this Islamic terrorist has tried to take Jews hostage at a synagogue. So it'll be very interesting on Wednesday what he has to say about this the synagogue hostage. I mean, all this Islamic stuff is just coming down. It's in the news. We're not talking about it gratuitously. These are stories that are in the news and need to be examined. President Biden is dangerous to our constitutional republic.
This is what also is appearing in the story. Al-Sharabi functioned as the emir of an Al-Qaeda operation and ran the Al-Nibris guest house in Kandahar, where Al-Qaeda figures stayed during a January 2001 visit to brief Osama bin Laden on the progress of the training for September 11, 2001 hijackers. The report notes that al-Sharabi had stated the U.S. is going down and warns that he maintains his support for extremism if released would re-engage in hostilities. Now, isn't that all you need to know? And if you want a track record, do you remember the five Taliban terrorists who were captured and sent to Gitmo? Five Taliban terrorists. Well, wasn't one or two of them the founders of the Taliban, and they were all in the higher echelon of the Taliban? And when they were released to Qatar, what were they doing? When Obama released the five Taliban terrorists for the army deserter for the treasonous Bergdahl, what did these five Taliban terrorists do? They went back to doing what they do best, and they reengaged with the Taliban. I mean, does bumbling Biden have a learning disability? Are the American authorities that stupid or ignorant to what these people will do? Do they want another attack on America? Is that the idea, in order to control Americans, in order to shred the freedoms and liberties that Americans enjoy today? I mean, you have the emir of an Al-Qaeda operation who is sitting in Gitmo and should rot in hell for killing, for taking part in killing 3,000 Americans and destroying billions of dollars of property, and he changed American security forever. The implementation of the Department of Homeland Security. And the report is Al-Sharabi had stated that the United States is going down, and warns that he maintains his support for extremism if released would reengage in hostilities. I don't know what part these dumbasses in Washington, D.C. don't understand, but do they want another 9/11 attack on America? Is that what they want? And then sit there and say, gosh, I don't know what the motive was.
I can only judge their actions, and they do want – President Biden does want another attack. President Biden, with forethought and malice, is releasing these people, these jihadis, knowing that they will be going back onto the battlefield and will be picking targets of American interests or Americans. So he wants this to happen. The question is, why does he want this to happen? And frankly, he should be impeached for letting just this Sharabi, who's already said that he's going to be he's going to go back to the battlefield and attack America. He should be removed from office by putting America at danger, knowingly.
Yeah, So much for national security. We've already had our national security breach at the southern border. Millions of illegal unvaccinated aliens entering the United States illegally, of course, again. Can't say illegally enough. And now you have, and as you said, with malice, releasing Islamic jihadists back into society. When in fact we have in this terrorist's own words what his intentions will be, and he will reengage in hostilities. I mean, if you don't now, this of course is speculation, but if you don't think the mission by the Democrat Communist Party is not to dismantle our constitutional republic, I tell you, I'm at a loss for words. I really am. I can't believe that for 4 years, the Democrat Communist Party excoriated President Trump. And I'm including the DNC media in this, for being pro-American, for having the audacity to put America first, for believing in American ingenuity, for believing in America itself, and trying to establish America as number one prominence in the world, as a world leader of peace. Mm-hmm. And the same destructive Democrat Party seeks to dismantle our constitutional republic, refuses to refer to America as a constitutional republic, but constantly refers to America as a democracy, as bubbling Biden did last week during his BS propaganda speech or teleprompter reading with the Voting Rights Act in Atlanta, Georgia. Nothing but a campaign stop, a teleprompter speech. And now when you look behind the scenes, and if you're not awake at what this moron is doing, this is just another indication of how much of a threat Biden and Harris are to national security. The emir of an Al-Qaeda operation and ran the Al-Nibris guest house in Kandahar, where an Al-Qaeda figure stayed during a January 2001 visit to brief Osama bin Laden on the progress of the training of the September 11, 2001 hijackers. The report notes that Al-Sharabi had stated that the U.S. is going down and warns that he maintains his support for extremism if released would re-engage in hostilities. How is it that you and I, Joe and Judy America, get this? I mean, the end game is to have America attacked once again so that the government can come down and control every aspect of our lives? Oh, stay indoors because there's Islamic jihadists. Stay indoors because we have a 29th variant of the China virus. Make sure you have your 15th booster shot. Oh, you have a third eye growing out? It's okay, but at least you have a booster shot. And in the meantime, Islamic terrorists, the worst of the worst now, are being let out of Gitmo. This is not protecting and defending the United States Constitution. This is not protecting and defending from adversaries, domestically or internationally, foreign. This is absolutely one of the dumbest things that Biden could do. Now, we know Biden is dumb, but this actually is just, it's reckless. And I don't know where Kevin McCarthy is in the House of Representatives, where Foghorn Leghorn is in the Senate. But somebody has to stand up to this insanity and say, enough is enough. These people are anti-American. They've attacked America once. 2 decades later, we're having to go through this again. Is that all it took? We spent trillions of dollars in trying to defeat this Islamic terrorism. We've rebuilt and we spent shitloads of money to the Middle East in the sand, and we're back to square one 2 decades later. Hmm. We've come full circle.
Well, you don't have to go far to find the lightning rod, and his name is Lee Walowski. He was Obama's point man for freeing jihadists from Gitmo. He's currently advising President Biden on Afghan refugees. Leo Walowski recently wrote an editorial falsely claiming that, quote, our longest war has ended yet Guantanamo endures, and that, quote, the world seemed to have moved on even more definitively from the era of the war on terror. Democrats may have moved on, but the terrorists haven't. So kudos to Greenfield for mining and finding out that this guy, Lee Walowski, Obama's point man for freeing the jihadis of Gitmo, is advising President Biden on the Afghan refugees. And therein is the lightning rod for this whole demented story of putting jihadis back out on the street who want to kill Americans, destroy America, and hate America. It's misprision of duty for President Biden to release these hardened jihadis back into the world stage, knowing full well that they're going to go back to jihad. They even say as much. There's no remorse. There's no anything that you can grab onto, real or imagine or lie, because they said exactly what they're going to do, and he's still doing it.
And if you don't think that Islamists are being provoked, look, just look what happened in Colleyville, Texas, just this past weekend. You had an Islamic jihadist, Malik Faisal Akram, fly from the United Kingdom to New York City on January 1st, and 15 days later, he terrorizes a synagogue in Texas, in Houston, outside of Fort Worth, Texas, and he's shot dead by the FBI. And if you don't think that there's still that Islamic jihadists are not being inspired, Ajem Chowdhury was locked up in prison. He was released by British authorities. He roams the streets of Great Britain, and he's still provoking the believers, just like chapter 4 verse 74 4 verse 84 states, provoking the belief. You don't think that the provocation from those jihadis locked up in Gitmo is not going to happen? I mean, you don't think al-Sharabi is going to provoke believers of Islam once he's let out, just like the five Taliban terrorists did who were released by Obama for that traitor, you know, deserter Bergdahl. Oh, man. I found, well, this, you know what? Go ahead.
I was just going to say, this guy, Lee Walosky, even gets more interesting. He's an American diplomat and attorney who served as the U.S. Special Envoy for Guantanamo closure in the Barack Obama administration. He served under the last three U.S. presidents in national security positions. This puke, this Harvard puke, is only 53 years old, and he's causing all of this. He's going to be causing all this world ajna. Where is Rose McDaniel? Why isn't she screaming at the top of her lungs?
Yep.
Anyway, what were you saying before I interrupted you so badly?
No, I was going to say, I was reading in that same article about, you know, gun control and how, you know, here you've got Islamic terrorist Omar Mateen, you know, walked into the Pulse nightclub down in Orlando, Florida, and killed 49 people. And, of course, what's the Democrat Communist Party theme and what's their narrative? And it's gun control. And it's the same thing that happened now in Colleyville, Texas, with, you know, with that idiot Biden now, when he's talking about, you know, Islamic jihad. He's not talking about jihad. He's talking about gun control. And I think I have.
Well, I would love to know where Akram got his gun.
So would I. He got it off the street.
That's what I read, too, but it's unconfirmed.
So here's a 44-second clip of Biden giving one of his teleprompter readings. What is that, Mr. Biden? I guess that was, that's the extent of Biden's gibberish. Golly. So here we are. We've come full circle in just 21 years. Obviously, September 11th, so in 20, just over 20 plus years. And we're back to square one once again. And yet we have more onerous laws. We have more restrictions in the United States. We have more curtailing of the American citizen. And the freedom-loving and patriotic American citizens have to adhere to more and more onerous laws and restrictions, rules and regulations. You have to show an ID to get on a plane. Photo ID to get on a plane, but you don't have to show a photo ID to vote. You know, you have to have certain types of a license now to get on a plane. You have to go through TSA security. You have to stand in line for 2 hours and make sure you're there for 2 hours prior to a flight. We have all of these, this onerous activity by the federal government as a result of 9/11. And in 20 years later, we've come full circle once again. We're allowing the same individuals who planned an attack on America to be released into society and to once again take out their vengeance on America. And we're going to sit there and say, what was their motive? Why are they doing this? What happened? What did we miss? In the meantime, if you were to utter what we are uttering now, you're labeled Islamophobe. You're labeled a hater. And the campaign of deceit by the Islamic world, including the Muslim Brotherhood, is alive and well. Oh, male teen deaths increased by 53% after COVID-19 vaccine rollout. Yep, that's right.
Repeat that.
Dogs just put in the chat room that male teen deaths increased by 53%. After the China virus vaccine rollout, 53% increase. Yeah.
Makes you stop and go, WTF.
That's right. That's right. It's sad. It really is. And I think we're being lied to. We're being taken advantage of. And we have an irresponsible and reckless government, but it's this reckless government who wants to usurp our fundamental freedoms and liberties. And I played that clip of Baghdad Bob Jensaki, you know, talking about Americans preventing to exercise their freedoms and liberties. And this is the mindset of today's Democrat Communist Party, and that is to dismantle our constitutional republic. And then the reckless nature of this president in releasing Islamic terrorists from Gitmo. They're in Gitmo for a reason. They're in Gitmo for a reason. And then imagine uttering, maintains his support for extremism, and if released, he would re-engage in hostilities. And yet this moron, this idiot in the White House is allowing the continuing emptying of Gitmo. It's irresponsible, it's reckless, and it's anti-American. Tomorrow night, we've got Eric from Kafiristan with the Cross of the Crescent at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Wednesday, Hank Jones and Poly Sports. Hank just ended the chat. Nice to see you, Hank. Hank Jones and Poly Sports, 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Paul Sutliff on Thursday with The Cancer of Civilization Jihad. That's his new book that's out, and check him for the Sutliff Hearing Report at 6 p.m. And Friday, Andrew Harrod with Conservative Casual Friday. Saturday, we got the esteemed Minister Sama Dakduk, and the beautiful Christy revealing the truth about Islam, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Great show there. And if you want to understand the real interfaith dialogue, if you want to have a real dialogue, the interfaith dialogue, check out Eric from Kafiristan once again with the Cross of the Crescent Sunday afternoon at 5 p.m. And Al and I will be back Monday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. I want to thank you all for joining us today. Also, I almost forgot. We have some other shows out there on Blog Talk Radio. Great supporters of Global Patriot Radio. We have G-Ski and Dave, Airwaves America, Fridays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. And keep your prayers for G-Ski. Annie, Southern Sense Talk Radio, and our co-host, C.S. Bennett Curtis, Fridays 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time right here on Blog Talk Radio. She has some great guests. I want to thank Annie for allowing me to sit in for Curtis last Friday afternoon. It was fun. Some great guests. Chief Simple Facts of Life, Tuesdays 3 p.m. Pacific Time on Blog Talk Radio. On Spreaker.com, Wednesday evenings, you got the Simone Nicole Show with Joshua. If you want a break from politics and Islam, and you want a great self-help show with very poor music, though, no, the Simone Nicole Show, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Spreaker.com. And Audrey Russo has a great show on Thursday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Go to AudreyRusso.com and check out Real Talk Radio, and that's 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. Check out BigfootsPlace.blogspot.com, www.BigfootsPlace.blogspot.com. We can get a nice weather report. Poor Big has been getting pounded with snow wherever he's at. But the Bigfoot is going to need his Bigfoot to muddle through the snow. We got Ducky Northwest. We had Gulf Dogs in the house. Hank Jones at Poly Sports. And, of course, we have Sweet Sue from New Mexico. And thank you, Sue, for all you do. And I hope you're doing well. And Al, any parting shots?
Always remember this. Judge a person by the content of their character, not the color of their skin. Adios, amigos.
God, that was one of Martin Luther King's prophetic statements. So thank you, Al. Great timing for that. And happy Martin Luther King Day. Good night, folks. Be safe out there. Be aware of your surroundings. Ciao.
It was my way.
That's all, folks.
Boom.
Boy, that went fast.
It sure did. Sure did. Hey, I'm glad you brought up the story. We had time for that story about the Gitmo, Biden freeing the Gitmo Islamic jihadist. I mean, I just this is mind blowing, man. It's mind blowing. Mm-hmm.
That Greenfield, he is one hell of a rider, because that Leo Woloski, he's just some 53-year-old puke who's doing all of this. He's just some kid. And it's, yeah, he's got a Harvard JD and an MA, Harvard grad, but how can someone so smart be so fucking stupid?
Man, I agree. I mean, you know, and you have these Islamic jihadists saying that they are going to seek retribution, and it's like, you know, I'm not sure. I don't get it. What part of this don't you understand, that these people are serious? I mean, and you could sit there and say anything you want to say, that, oh, this is not, it's all hyperbole. Bull. Look what just happened this past Saturday. This guy comes 7,000 miles, pays for a plane ticket to travel overseas across the pond, goes to New York City, and then goes another 3,000 miles to just outside of Fort Worth, Texas, and storms a synagogue and holds, you know, four members of the congregation, including the rabbi, hostage. A hostage situation.
Yeah.
And you don't think this is going to happen? Now, if this becomes more frequent, are people going to start understanding that this is a real thing? This is not subsided at all? And that strong leadership that was presented by President Trump is what, you know, stemmed these types of activities? And then you've got this leading from behind, just like Obama, with this bumbling Biden. Give me a break.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you figured we would have learned that World Trade Center bombing 1 in 93. We didn't learn it then. Then we had they finished the job in 2001. Then you got Nadal Hassan and all the five or six other terrorist attacks, Pulse Club. God, we could go on. I could go on for five more minutes just listing them all. And now you've got this one. And when he says, my sister... They don't understand that it's my sister, my brother. All Muslims are my women or girls are my sister. All men are my brothers. And they still don't get it. And they didn't get it, and they printed that they didn't get it, and they articulated they didn't get it. That's what concerns me the most.
Because it's 1.3 billion mother. It's 1.3 billion brothers and sisters. 1.3 billion.
And they're thinking it's a family issue. I want to know I want to know what he did the minute he got off that plane. I want to know who he talked to.
Right.
Hopefully they have his phone and they can – hopefully they're cracking his phone. I want to know everybody he came into contact with, what mosques he went to, where he got the gun, how he traveled from New York to Texas, where he stayed, who he talked. I want to know all this.
I do, too, because, you know, what doesn't sit right with me is they label this guy a homeless guy. He went to homeless facilities. Excuse me, but how did this guy travel from New York City to Fort Worth, Texas? How?
Yeah. Well, if he stayed in homeless facilities, that means that he didn't want a paper trail.
Correct.
And he probably was under an assumed name. That means, he was getting guidance from somebody.
Exactly.
Because there is no terrorist that operates in a vacuum. There is a cell that was helping him.
And then you bring...
There had to be,
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, go on. No, go on.
I was just going to say that you brought up about Linda Sarsour being in Texas, you know, just miles from that mosque and talking about, you know, miles from that synagogue, talking about the synagogue and also the release of Aifa Siddiqui, and just what, 2 weeks after that? I mean, so
this doesn't
add up. It just doesn't add up.
Yeah, Greenfield said that action by CARE to get Aifa Siddiqui released was actually an incitement to violence, and is probably part of the reason for this guy coming over to some degree. And frankly, their 501c3, 501c4 should be shut down, and they need to be, CARE, there should be major investigation going on with CARE.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, absolutely. It should be. It's not going to happen. And we'll see what President Biden says tomorrow or Wednesday about this, if he even talks about it, because by then it'll be old news. People will go, oh, okay, forgot about it. Nobody got killed. Good thing. It's only Jews. Who gives a crap?
No, you know what he'll talk about? He'll talk about gun control. That's what he's going to talk about. He's going to bring up the Pulse nightclub shooting where 49 people were killed and the access to a weapons. And then he'll talk about how, even though there was no loss of life, how this man, you know, obtained a weapon. Of course, then again, that also discards and distracts from how this guy got this weapon. And, it, you know, it's not about gun control. That's another, you know, Democrat Communist Party false propaganda theme. And, you know, you rightly asked the question, where did he get his gun? That's the question.
And even before that, how the hell did this guy get a visa to come over?
Exactly.
With a criminal record. I think even his real brother, his biological brother, was reported in some article that he was asking that same question. How in the world did the American government give him a visa?
Yeah. Yeah. How does he get a visa? It's unbelievable, man. It really is. We're watching this unfold right before our eyes.
And Djokovic gets kicked out of Australia for what? Being a tennis player and being unvaccinated. Him, they kick out of the damn country. It's so surreal. It's otherworldly. It makes 0.0 sense.
I find what you read about the excuse that the Australian government gave, I find that very, very troubling. I think it's extremely troubling what the federal government released.
Well, you read the story. I just kind of winged it, but yeah, I winged what you read. I wasn't reading anything. You found the story and read the exact words. But yeah, they're afraid of him being for the unvaccinated few that the Australian government saw him as being a threat to the government because he would encourage unvaccinated people to speak up. Australia. I could maybe see it in, Germany, possibly, even France, maybe, but Australia. I always thought of Australia as Crocodile Dundee and the Wild Wild West, United States 40 years ago. I didn't realize that they were full-blown, mobbed-up commie bastards.
It's funny. I mean, it really is. I think of Belly's comments he's always said that Australia and New Zealand are testing grounds for the United Nations, and I'm starting to believe that. I really am.
Well, he's been saying as long as we've known him for the last few years, and I heard him, and I heard the same thing you did, and I said, well, it could be true. I don't see it, but it could be true. But now I see it, and he was 100% right, and I was wrong for not taking his words more seriously.
It's what we're seeing today occur here in the United States is just, it's unbelievable. Never thought we'd ever see that. And we are seeing it. Just, it's awful, man. It's awful what we're seeing.
Well, put on your mask. And go outside and go to the grocery store. Mask up and go.
That was funny. I have to tell you.
In Germany. That was quick. That was a quick response.
Yeah, thank you.
It's in Berlin.
I don't know why I looked at
fuckface.
I said, it's in Berlin. And I got to tell you, I swear to God, this Asian guy's walking. I think he was Chinese with his wife, and he was walking in back of him. And when I said that, he just broke out in a smile. He looked at his wife, and then my wife took off.
Mrs. Vito ran for the hill.
She did. She ran inside the store. She didn't want any part of it.
She was like the Wile E. Coyote hauling Bud over to the dairy section.
Well, she knew that he would go off, and he started going, well, are you one of those, huh? You're probably not vaccinated either, and, you're anti-vax, you're anti-this, you're anti-mask. I'll see you later, man. Have a good day.
God. That is so... That would have been funny if you... That was quick, Berlin.
I decided
Beijing,
that's
fucker. Yeah.
That's what the I think Al, that's what I'm gonna do now. I think I decided that when somebody if someone was to say to me, where's your mask, I'm gonna say it's in Berlin, my Führer. Where's your mask? It's in Berlin, my Führer.
That is good. You're a funny son bitch.
Hey, you got to get on. You got to get on Getter, GTTR. Thank you, Sue, for getting me on Getter. Yeah, man. People are what do you call it? Are flocking up. I just got another 20 followers on Getter.
Oh yeah, is it like Twitter? But Getter?
Yeah. Yep, just like Twitter.
Okay, I'll check it out.
Yep. So
maybe we need to put Global Patriot Radio on Getter.
Well, you know, I couldn't figure out how to upload the show. So
maybe get the URL and pull up with the URL.
Yep. That's true. I'll definitely try that. Yep. Okay. Do that next week. Well, maybe I'll try to get it when we're done here and upload it and see. Because the Blog Talk has the icon to send to Twitter. It uploads the show, but it doesn't have to upload it to Getter. So, but I'll do that.
Well, I'll look into this Getter, and I'll get her.
Get her. Get her done.
I'll get her. Get her done.
Get her done.
All right, you have a good weekend. And,
thank you. You as well. And Sue, you have a nice day. And be safe out there. Be aware of your surroundings.
Yeah.
Wear your mask. Where's your mask?
Don't forget to wear your mask everywhere you go. And if one mask isn't enough, wear two. Wear three.
Wear two. I'm thinking of three. I'm going to buy three. And a head cover. Get my hazmat suit. That's what I need to do.
I need to
buy a hazmat suit. That's what I need to do. And walk around.
Those diving bells. Those diving suits with the diving bell.
Yeah, scuba suit. Which one?
20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, that old diving bell that you put that on. Weighs 100 pounds.
That's a great idea. I'll try to see if when this guy gets back into the supermarket, I'll go over to get a scuba suit with the fins and come flopping in with the tank on.
Do I know this person?
No.
Oh, thank God. Okay, good.
Yeah. No. Oh, my God.
All right. Well, we'll see you next week in Berlin.
Okay, Montiera. I know nothing.
That's all, folks.
Yeah. Have a good one, Al.
Thank you, Dostanya, comrade.
Hey, comrade. See, ya. Dostanya, ya.